9:05. Welcome back to the Chad Hastie Show. News Talk 790 KFYO, online at KFYO.com. And, of course, the Radio Pup app, where you can take the show wherever you travel. All KFYO programming available right there on the Radio Pup app. First voice you hear from when you dial in today, the very talented Ariel Walden on the other side, also known as the Geek Girl. You can read her Geek Girl reports at KFYO.com. We continue with our tour of the candidates as they come marching through the studios all this week, all next week, and probably right up until Election Day. And joining me in studio, candidate for Lubbock City Council in District 5, Dr. Brian Carr. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. Glad to be here.
Well, appreciate you coming in today. Tell folks why you decided to run for City Council. You know, I ask this of all the candidates, and most of them go, I have no idea, but here I'm the one to run. So why did you decide to get in?
Well, I think I've got a very clear idea of why I'm here, and I think it's most appropriate that you have me here on Tax Day. I think that one thing I've looked at is having been born and raised up here in Lubbock, and you look at our situation of what we have around us, and I think that on this day to keep in mind that in the last 4 years that you've seen your budget go up tremendously, that you now there's about $500 worth of hidden taxes that are from transfers and utilities and water, and so I think that at that level we need to look at those issues, and then for the last 5 years I've been on the Board of Health, and the last 2 years chairman, and I think that the Board of Health is a very valuable resource for this community, and frankly I'm just a little tired of going in these in-depth reports and investigations, preparing a pretty eloquent report that details a lot of different issues, handing it to the council where it just kind of disappears into the ether somewhere. And so want to get up there to where we cannot lose track of what we're trying to get done.
You know, it seems like with, and I've brought this up on the show many times, the city council, they love to form committees, task forces, all the time. It seems like almost every other council meeting they come up with a new task force, new committee, but they don't listen to them that much. And that's been a strong criticism from those who serve on these committees. Is that something that has been, in your mind, really hindering the city of Lubbock?
Well, I think that there are a lot of interests kind of operating in the shadows. And for example, when the Board of Health issued a report on hydraulic fracturing last May, I think the mayor didn't like our recommendations, and so he formed his own oil and gas subcommittee, which is about to issue their report. And I think one thing that's going to be very clear is that if you put a side-by-side comparison, what you're going to see are some major differences between what your Board of Health found and what this oil and gas committee found. And that's part of the problem is I think the council tends to shop around till they get the answer that they want.
What is your opinion on fracking?
Well, I think that oil and gas exploration is a part of our heritage, is a part of our economy, and when done correctly, can be managed very well. The issue is it's not done correctly, and it's not the big operators, Apache and others. They do a pretty good job. It's the small independents, and when you realize that we're trying to protect our water supply and that you get even a minor spill and contamination, and it revolves back to the water issue, which is we've got to be very mindful of that. And so oil and gas is here, and we're going to use it, but we really need better ways of inspecting for it and better ways of ensuring the safety of our citizens.
How do you do that? If you were elected, let's say you're on the city council, maybe this is an issue, pretty sure it's going to come up within the next few years. How do you tackle that issue?
Well, I think the most important thing is that if you look at municipalities across Texas, Lubbock is the only one that does not have its own oil inspector. That basically at this point, we're asking the oil drillers to police themselves. And, I've got some inherent uneasiness when the people who are supposed to turn themselves in are also the people making the profit. So the first thing I'd do is I'd want to have an independent oil inspector hired by the city, paid for by the permitting that goes to the driller. So it would add zero cost to the budget. And I think that's a good first step, as well as some of the setbacks, meaning how far from where the well is to any kind of habited structure, school, church, et cetera. And so all we're doing is saying, why don't we do what other people are doing around the state? And to keep in mind that these guidelines are just common sense guidelines, many of which are actually best practices from the oil industry themselves.
And you think the mayor's committee will come up with something totally different?
Oh, I'm convinced that they're going to, because I've already, you know, I've been privy to what's been going on in their committees and how they've pretty much shut down the whole idea. They've already voted on the inspector and said no. Setbacks, we're trying to get that through, but I think when you take a committee and you stack it with oil and gas people, don't be surprised if they say, we just need to do it like we've always done it.
One of the reasons, or one of the campaign issues that has come up, obviously your opponent has been staunchly against, synthetic marijuana, and she has been pushing for a ban on synthetic marijuana. You agree with her on the ban of synthetic marijuana and selling synthetic drugs, probably better to say drugs and marijuana. But you would go further, correct?
Well, I would go to where there's action. I think that her efforts are plaudable, and I'm very glad that we've got the city council's interest in this. But, the chief problem is that we have no way to test for these substances, that the DPS crime lab has told us that they're not interested in testing for these because it's a misdemeanor. And so you can add banned chemicals to this list until the cows come home, and it will have zero effect. In fact, there have been zero prosecutions under that ordinance that's been on the books now for almost 15 months. Mm-hmm. And so I think to add teeth to it is to put pressure on our elected officials in Austin and Washington and get this thing bumped up to a felony, which then gets the crime labs interested, and then we can go after some of these smoke shops who we can then test for it and have a way to put some teeth in that. And I think that that's one leg of it. The other is public education, where the Board of Health is partnering with YWCA to work on some public awareness issues. And we got some serious prize money we're going to be giving out for that. And then lastly, my support for the WASP people, the Warriors Against Synthetic Pot, and the public protests, because I think we've got to hit these people head on and hit them in the pocketbook and then get them to say that while they can make lots of money selling these, they don't want that kind of a camera on them following them around.
The mayor has come up with two different concerns. He says, number one, he has no problem banning it when it comes to kids, when it comes to kids getting a hold of it. But when it comes to adults, hey, they're making an adult decision. Let them do whatever they want to do, basically. If they want to do that, hey, they're an adult. They should know better. What are your thoughts on that? And also the mayor, I believe it was yesterday, maybe the day before, just recently said, if we keep adding to this, it just makes things worse with synthetic pot.
Well, I think that the mayor's wrong. That, yes, I don't want to see us move toward what I guess some people would talk about, nanny state. But I do think that when you have chemicals that are clearly so dangerous, that in my own practice as a psychologist, I've had two of my clients have had seizures in the last 2 months. One died. I just think that kind of history, that when you have a drug that dangerous, and then the very way it's marketed, mm-hmm. that you go in there and it says not for human consumption, it's for potpourri or incense. And I think that, with everybody doing the old Monty Python wink, wink, nod, nod as to we know what we're using here, that I think that we have to do something. And, really, society's okay if you kill yourself slowly, if you want to smoke, if you want to drink. But with something like this, we're talking first time out of the gate, it can be a tremendous problem. And I think that's the difference here.
We'll go ahead. We'll take our break. When we come back, we'll continue our visit with Dr. Brian Carr, city council candidate, District 5. You can visit his website, Carr4, that's actually spelt out, 4, Lubbock.com. Carr with two R's. We'll be right back. Back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk, 790 KFYM. Dr. Brian Carr in studio, running for Lubbock City Council in District 5. Let's talk about your philosophy when it comes to taxes, tax increases. That's something that obviously everyone wants to talk about whenever there's an election. When is there an appropriate time for a tax increase, in your opinion?
Well, I think that what we need to do is just have real, honest, meanable conversations, meaning that, for example, what Michael Ward has called the hidden taxes, that you have, this has grown from about $19 million to $29 million just in the last 4 years. And hidden tax is when they increase our water rates and our electric rates, and then they use that money raised to transfer elsewhere. And so it's estimated by her organization that this is added up now to about $500 per year for the families. And, I think, again, the people who support my opponent, they're not going to be fazed by what their electric costs, whether it be at their boathouse, their winter home, their vacation on the Caribbean. But for, I think, the hardworking Joes around here, that's pretty serious money. So the taxation, if you rolled it all together, is just incredibly high. And I just think that if we're going to, before we start having to come up with new money, I think look at how we spend money on economic development. Look how we spend it. We give $1.2 million to the Lubbock North and East, Lubbock EDC, and then they won't show us their books. And again, you know, my opponent, she's really represents a special interest group of people who are very well off. You know, my own analysis showed that about 76% of her backers are all developers and real estate people. And so, you know, what does Clayton Isom get for $7,000 that he gave to her campaign? Well, that might come in handy when he decides to, like, tear down the God Bolt or when other issues come up before the council. So, you know, I think money is definitely a part of the problem in this city, and that in this case, there is a clear attempt, I believe, to buy this district seat and keep Karen as a mouthpiece.
You've been involved in the city. You've been heavily involved. You've obviously been taking a look at what the city council does for a number of years now. In your opinion, though, when it comes to voting for a tax increase, you're going through the budget, everything else. At what point do you say, okay, we've cut enough spending here, we need to raise taxes? I mean, are we at the point where we're looking ahead, there are different projects coming up in the future that a tax increase is going to be needed, from what you've seen?
Well, I think that when you look at the issues of water and you look at the issues of electric, that in both cases, we're talking about serious amounts of money, whether it be the expansion in the next phase for Lake Allen Henry, which is estimated to be $67 million, or whether we build a new electrical generating plant, which is upward estimates of $600 million, which will take our total city burden from about $1.2 billion to possibly up around $2 billion. And so I think that we've got to get the citizens involved so that they understand that we're just not kidding. You know, it's just like water. Wait until we start stage two in June 1st, and you can't wash your car, and you're going to get real tickets. And I think that's when people are going, we got to do something. And so if we can mobilize the interest of the public to get them involved and then present them with what the data is and not continually hide behind closed doors or these meetings where you kind of wonder what's going on and how it always seems to profit the developers and the other people who they make out like bandits, and then they disappear, and then we're stuck with the rest of the cost.
Let me ask you this. There was a thought process a few years ago by a few of the members on the council that we're only going to raise taxes in the town if people approve of it through bond elections, basically. That's how a lot of water projects were approved. Do you take that same stance, or do you say, hey, there are times where we as a council, we need to make the decision and bite the bullet and go forward?
I think that you have to have some degree of trust in your council, because there are instances when action has to be taken. Mm-hmm. So if we send out obligation bonds, which don't require a city review. But on the other hand, even in that instance, I think the important thing is to put it out there and explain how we're spending the money and not simply act so parental where it's like the council sits there and says, well, we're smarter than you and you don't really need to know why did we fire Leanne Dumball and give her $350,000? You know, that report was sealed, voted on by my opponent. And then again and again, we see these conflicts of interest. And I think people ought to be held accountable to that. And so that openness is there. But, you know, I'm sort of like with Maurice Stanley, which is you got to take care of what you got. Mm-hmm. And if we would have saved the Goedeke Library at the time that it first developed the black mold, maybe $50,000. Instead, we let the thing fall apart, $1.5 million. We let one of Karen's big backers, Wilkerson, in the shopping center that he manages, he's made a couple of million dollars off of $25,000 a month. Now we're fixing to move into a library that's really not designed to last that many years, and we're going to spend probably another $1.5 million. And so you put all that together, you know, we could have built a pretty snappy library for about $3.5-4 million that we've spent. And I just think the council tends to kick the can down the road. They don't research things. And that's my background is, you know, you may not agree with me, but I'll give you some substance as to why and not simply pat you on the head and not return your phone call.
Let's take a look at some of the issues that may come forward as well. Texting while driving, man. This is something that your opponent has brought up, that others on the city council has brought up. What do you think about that issue?
Well, certainly human behavior is core to a lot of the problems that we face. And, you know, I think we can look at that. I don't know how effectively we can deal with it. I mean, it's one of those things where how much do we tie up our law enforcement to have to hassle with those things. That I think that it's, that's part of the problem is we pass these feel-good legislation that doesn't help. I mean, it's much again like Karen making it against the law for us to cook in our own kitchens and feed the homeless until the health department, we went after them and said, no, as long as you post a thing that says this has not been inspected by the health department. But that's silly. We ought to be able to feed people. We ought to be able to now in this instance, if I don't know where Robertson is on the texting while driving, it's a problem and we can deal with it as we can, but it's like, a lot of things. Are we going to put a cop in every school zone, on every corner? And then what do we get for that? And so that's one that I'm not so sure we can effectively ban.
What about there's been talk about another group coming in wanting to push for a citywide smoking ban at bars. Most restaurants are already smoke-free. But at bars, bingo halls, clubs, you know, whatever it may be, to get the city to go completely smoke-free. As a member of the council, if that proposal was brought to you, how would you vote?
Well, you're talking about the proposal from the American Heart Association, and this is a statewide effort to remove just some of the minor exceptions. For example, the only way the law changes here would be it will remove the exemption for sports bars, which basically you just put up a couple of televisions and voila, boom, you're a sports bar. And the issue is the secondhand smoke danger for the employees. And so that's the extent of the change for the Lubbock ordinance. And it's not something to where if you work out of your home, we're going to come in there and tell you that, well, there's a plumber here, so you can't be smoking. But I do think that we probably do need to do away with that one particular part of the ordinance because of the secondhand effects of
smoke. Didn't those employees choose to work there, though? Didn't they know what they were getting themselves into?
Well, how much do young people who work in those places think about their health in general? You know, when I talk to college students in my practice and I say, do you drink? I always like to prefer it, saying it, do you drink like a college student? So if we talk about risky behaviors among college students, yes. But then it kind of goes back to, it's an easy fix. And I think that there's just no question that the smoke is dangerous. And in that case, because the research is so clear, I'm not opposed to that change.
Visiting with Dr. Brian Carr, running for city council in District 5. Now, there are many times when people are running for office, it's hard to know some of their background. You know, you've heard the show. You've heard the shows where I've criticized you in the past about some of your writings on the Lubbock Online blog. You have a blog that's on there right now. And in it, you criticize a lot of the things because you sound like you would be for some small government type of things when it comes to taxes, when it comes to some other issues. But you write about praising Obamacare. You talk about how the far right, the extreme right, people like Ted Cruz, Rush Limbaugh, that they're crazy. You know, the small government conservatives are crazy. How do you take your views on your blog where you seem like a big fan of big government? So locally, how will you not be a big fan of big government here locally?
Well, I think you've got to ask yourself how much big government exists at the local level. And I think that if it were to come before the council about whether or not we should intervene in the Crimea, I might have a difference of opinion from some people. If you want to know, I mean, the Obamacare, the issue there is...
But there are a lot of things the city council does that affects lives of people.
Okay. But at the same time, I think that, so what I tire of is the people who criticize the problem without coming up with a solution. And so, having been a practicing psychologist for 25 years and having to make a living as a private practice, I can tell you that Obamacare at least begins to address a system which, if we didn't address it, the wheels would come off, in any sense. And so, I just challenge people that if you're gonna come after me about my position, give me some solutions and offer something of substance rather than just criticize the position. And I think that, in my writings, yes, that, you know, part of, any good blog is you put a bit of a spin on it, as you do, and as, you know, P.S. Pratt does on his show. And that generates some readership, that generates some interest. And I think that, you know, to understand though, at the local level where we're talking about potholes and taxes, then I would argue that I'm really more of a fiscal conservative than my opponent, because, you know, she's the big bucks person. I mean, you want your taxes to go up, vote for her.
Dr. Brian Carr, appreciate you coming in today. You can visit his website, by the way, folks, carforlubbock.com, two R's. The four is spelt out, carforlubbock.com, also on Facebook as well. Appreciate your time today.
Sure.